A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Today we have a crazy revenge story of burning down a house. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, my experiences as a teacher. I got this job at a community high school in downtown Illinois. I'm not sure if it was my dream job, but I am sure I've always wanted to be a teacher. I was 23 when I got the job, and I'd sincerely hoped that the sky would be my starting point. I had hoped so because I was raised by parents who were outstanding teachers. My parents were given numerous awards, and they were greatly celebrated by their students for meritorious services. Those moments were proud moments for me, and I remember how I used to feel privileged to have been birthed by such dedicated individuals. Growing up, my parents motivated me to venture into the teaching profession, and I remembered how my mother encouraged me to go for it if I wanted to. In her words, teaching is a noble profession, and if you want to feel noble, be a teacher. I remember how most of my friends looked at me weirdly for wanting to be a teacher. I remember how I was counseled to reconsider my decision because medical science and STEM courses were the most popular, and I almost reconsidered my dreams of becoming a teacher. You know, the feelings of uncertainty and fear that come with the teenage years. Years later, against all odds and discouragements, I graduated college and I got a space in the teaching profession. I got my first job in a public school, and I smiled from ear to ear on my first week. You know that goofiness that swells in your belly when you finally tick one of your goals in life? That was exactly what I felt, and more. However, I realized that I'd spent years preparing myself as a teacher and not preparing myself for the realities of such a delicate job. One of the realities that hit me like a tidal wave was when a student spoke to me rudely. You know, I was so shocked that I stood transfixed for a few minutes. I stood staring deeply at her, wanting to remember what could have pushed her to tell me to freak off. I was wondering if a student was meant to use the F word in the school's environment, or if a student was even meant to use such a word at a teacher at all. I had asked everyone to turn in their assignments as expected, but she insisted that she didn't do hers in a very wrong tone, if I must say. Further probing into the issue got me the word, freak off. To make it worse, other students in the class joined in to laugh at me. I remember being so angry that I got all of them punished severely. If only I knew that I'd set myself up for drags, maybe I would have threaded with a bit of caution. The next time I got into the class, I could see that most of the students wore faces that portrayed dissatisfaction and contempt. I didn't know why, but I was sure whatever mask they wore on their faces was none of my business. I asked for their assignments, and only two students turned in theirs. I think my eyes became bloodshot and heavy. I could sense that there was a conspiracy somewhere, which I knew I didn't deserve in any way. I was a new teacher who was trying to build on a career that I thought would bring me so much peace and fulfillment. I felt a huge sense of discouragement as I stood before the class, wondering what action I would take. I stormed out of the class and headed to the principal's office, but along the way, I changed my mind. I couldn't see any sense in trying to report almost an entire class when I was barely 2 weeks old at the school. Looking back, my unwillingness to inform the school's principal was one of my biggest undoings at that time. Even though I had so much power, I gave it up out of fear. After that scenario, I was able to restore calm and balance in the class, thanks to the professional teaching methods I learned in college. However, I still had to contend with my biggest nightmare at the school. This girl, let's call her A, was the boldest and most populous girl in the school. She was the one who recruited others to boycott my assignments in my first few weeks at the school. Later, I also learned that her parents were one of the richest in the school, and she was known to be one of the students who threw parties at random, traveled to exotic places around the world, and displayed a large followership on Instagram. I later learned that she was a powerful queen bee who only attended school at the insistence of her parents. Now, the problem lay in the reality that A didn't like the school, and she was bent on ensuring that anyone, teachers included, who was going to compel her to be serious would be used as a scapegoat. As much as I knew that I was going to be one of the recipients of that anger, I was determined not to be humiliated without a fight. To be honest, it was a difficult period for me, and I had to confide in my mother. I was thankful for her warm guidance and how she provided me with a shoulder to lean on. Then, I remember a time I got reported to the school's management by a group of students who claimed I verbally abused them in the class. It was a serious allegation at the time, and I had to look for ways to exonerate myself. Meanwhile, I only tried to caution the students who weren't attentive in my class. I didn't know why it was so, but I realized that students were given so much more power than was necessary, and I think that gave them so many wings to misbehave when they wanted to. Although there were days I had good days too, days where I felt safe and in good climes. And when I thought I'd recruited so many enemies, I was happy to have found friendship in some students. One of them, let's call her B, was the reason I didn't give up before I even started. She was smart and wise beyond her years. She made me understand I wasn't the first teacher who would have a hard time in the school. Also, I learned that some teachers had been suspended unjustly in the past, sometimes due to false allegations. I was surprised to hear that the school, which was meant to protect teachers, was giving up its powers to the children they were meant to guide. I became furious, and I was determined to put an end to such a menace because, as far as I was concerned, that shouldn't continue. Along the line, A, who had made sure I had difficult times in the school, decided to vie for the position of prefect in the school. As such, she needed the support of a lot of people, teachers included. However, in the blink of an eye, she had gotten the endorsement of several teachers who initially told me her guts irritated them. I don't think I was keen on impeding anyone's success, but I hated it when people refused to call a spade a spade. I made it clear that I would not endorse a student who was unruly, obnoxious, and unwilling to learn. I was surprised that I was one of the few teachers who stood her ground regarding my decision not to endorse a girl I knew didn't have the right leadership traits. As expected, A was determined to lead at all costs, and anyone who stood on that path was her enemy. But much to my chagrin, she earmarked me as a major hindrance to her goals. And while I was expecting her to release her venom as usual, I was surprised to learn that she suddenly flipped the script on me. First, she became dutiful, respectful, and attentive in class. She even cautioned her classmates because, of course, she was the queen bee. I was well aware that she only pulled that up to buy my support, but I knew that my support couldn't be bought so cheaply. As an adult, I was smarter. I played along so well, and I used the opportunity to help her improve academically. At least, I knew that I owed her such support. After a while, A asked me if I was ready to endorse her political ambition. I looked at her, and I smiled widely. That was the first time I smiled with A in such a manner. Not that we've had any reason to smile at each other in such a way. I told her I was going to endorse whomever I wanted, and I had no intention to allow myself to be coerced to do otherwise. She looked at me more with disdain and displeasure, and I wasn't surprised when she went back to who she was, and even worse, after I made it clear that my loyalty couldn't be bought with fake gestures. Well, I wasn't the only teacher who failed to endorse her, but I was the newest teacher. I guess that was the reason why I was dragged so much around the school. It was more like a situation of, you are new, you ought to mellow and observe who calls the shots here. It was funny how I was expected to stand back and watch disrespect, irresponsibility, and a lazy attitude towards schoolwork thrive all because I was new and young. And to top it all off, I was just a
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Storytime is sponsored by BetterHelp. Nearly everyone at some point in their life will struggle with their mental health, whether that's something stressful at work, in a personal relationship, or something else. I know that I really struggled with anxiety in my early 20s, and therapy was a massive help for me. That's why I'm a massive fan of therapy, and today's sponsor, BetterHelp. If there is anything in your life, big or small, that is negatively affecting you, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. It's an online therapy service that, after finishing a small questionnaire, will match you with a licensed therapist, where you can book appointments that match up with your schedule at any place or any time. And if you feel like you're not bonding with your therapist, you can switch at any point for free. Also, therapy isn't just if you're struggling with mental health. If you're looking for guidance or ways to improve your social skills, life, or relationships, it's a great judgment-free way of doing that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/StorytimePod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/StorytimePod. Under and fragile as the students, I thought. Although I made up my mind not to overlook any misdemeanor again, even though I told myself that I would tread with caution. Eventually, A's class was given coursework that entailed a presentation. The class was sectioned into several groups to enable a seamless presentation. Subsequently, all the groups presented except A's group. I remember that I made it clear that not every member of the group was expected to speak. But as expected, everyone was mandated to contribute effectively. But I was surprised that A's group, which was the last group, refused to provide any representative to speak on their behalf. They were given the floor, and they were even urged to come forth with their presentation, but none of them obliged. I was shocked to have witnessed such unruly behavior from the students, because the presentation was allotted 20 marks, and I wondered if 20 marks were not important. Well, they made it clear that they had nothing to present. I wasn't obligated to force them to. They had done their part, and it was left for me to decide how to do my part. I wasn't surprised when A and her followers failed at the end of the term. All of them. They obviously couldn't meet the required score for a pass mark, and I was in no way lenient in my assessments. When A and her subordinates saw that I could also match their energy, they reached out to the school's management, and I wasn't surprised when I heard the false allegations leveled against me. I told my part of the story to the management, and I made it clear that if the right measures were not taken to curb the excesses of the students, I would take it further to the school board. I could see that the principal saw that I was not bluffing. A and her followers were thoroughly examined and were told to retake the school year or get indefinitely suspended. The next day, after the management had disclosed its decision on the matter, A passed by me, and I could see a mask of defeat on her face. I smiled, having realized that I'd championed equality in my little way. So was there a goal that they were trying to, like, bully OP by not doing their work? Because, really, I don't know what they thought would happen. We're gonna collectively appeal doing the group project as a whole. That'll show them and make them submit. Can't backfire in any way. That said, our next story is, Crazy Karen bullies me at work, so I destroy her expensive car. The worst place I've ever worked in my entire life was a convenience store. I know the trend where people keep talking about the toxic workplace in the corporate setting, where the boss abuses his or her workers, but I'm telling you, that's not the worst environment to work in. Come work at a convenience store, and you'll know what I'm saying. Aside from the gruesome work you'd be doing for minimum wage, and the constant yelling and insults you'd get from your boss, you still have to face the customers, who most times turn out to be huge jerks. But no matter how bad they are to you, you're required to treat them with love and respect. The same love and respect that they'll only take for granted and never reciprocate. The first time I decided to get a job in a convenience store, I was in my freshman year of college. I was there on scholarship as my parents couldn't afford to send me themselves. Not only were they not able to afford my tuition, they were finding it difficult to consistently send me an allowance. I couldn't blame them. I was the second child of four, and my dad was doing really well before a recession hit the country and he lost his job. Things hadn't been the same ever since then, and I could see that he was trying to provide for the rest of my siblings, so I had to cut him some slack. I tried rationing the allowance he used to send me. I'd stretch it out to last a specific period of time, but with the exorbitant prices of things in school, my rationing plan never worked out well and I always went hungry. A few weeks into college, I made a friend. Let's call him Alex, 21-year-old male. Alex had wealthy parents and he always had more stuff than he needed. So when we started hanging out, he gave me all that extra stuff and I was good for a time. But eventually, I started to become dependent on Alex for survival. And he knew it. I guess that was why he started behaving in a type of way. He started to talk crap about me to my face and behind my back. Whenever we were with our group of friends, he usually said things that were aimed at making me look and feel small. He insulted me at every chance he got, and felt like I couldn't do anything because my survival in college was mostly dependent on him. But the thing about me was that I never let my background dictate my self-worth, so when he started to treat me this way, I told him off and broke off our friendship. It was a decision that cost me dearly because I had to go back to depending on my parents for survival. One day, one of the guys from my friend group, Jamie, 22-year-old male, came over to see me. He hadn't seen me in a while since I never showed up to Alex's apartment where we all used to gather. I told him everything that had transpired between us, and he understood my perspective. Then I told him about the financial struggles I was facing and how it was getting difficult to stay in college. He asked me why I couldn't get a part-time job. I couldn't say I hadn't thought about it before, but I didn't want anything to distract me from my education, as it was the sole purpose of being there. Besides, my scholarship was hinged on me getting good grades, and if for some reason my performance dropped, I would lose the scholarship and I'd have to drop out. Jamie told me not to worry because that was why it was called part-time. I could discuss my concerns with anyone willing to employ me and we'd be able to compromise. I listened to him and went around campus looking for where I could work. I got a few offers, but none of them were accommodating to the time frame I could work, so I had to extend my search to outside the school campus. It was hard and I wanted to give up at some point, but eventually, I got a job at a convenience store just outside the school campus. The manager, Mr. William, 50-year-old male, seemed nice and was willing to work with my hours. The pay was less than average, but at least it was more than nothing, so I took it. Just 3 weeks into the new job, I was already starting to regret all the decisions I made that led me there. Working as a cashier in a convenience store was more hectic than I imagined, especially during the rush hours. I had customers clamoring around me, wanting their goods checked and bagged. I only had two hands and could only attend to one customer at once, but those customers didn't seem to understand that. Some impatient ones yelled at me to work faster, while some rude ones called me all sorts of names. That period of my life was one of the most traumatizing. I couldn't complain because I needed the job, and Mr. William, who seemed like a saint when he offered me the job, was actually the devil's spawn. He insulted me whenever I did something wrong, and whenever I tried to take a leave off work, he declined my request. He knew how badly I needed the job, and he was using it against me. By that time, I'd already gotten used to earning my own money, so quitting would have been a major inconvenience. Besides, my parents had stopped sending me an allowance when I told them I'd gotten a job. I couldn't go back to burdening them with my problems, so I sucked it up and kept working. The only thing that made working in that store a bit bearable was the fact that my coworkers were friendly. I made two friends, Lee, 22-year-old male, and Sam, 19-year-old male. They were from similar backgrounds and they understood what I was facing. We kept each other company, and most of all, we kept each other sane. But my newfound balance didn't last very long. One day, after a very long evening rush, I finally sat down on the stool to look through the sales record and make sure I didn't make any mistakes. I heard someone yelling in one of the aisles, but I couldn't pay attention because I was engrossed in the record I was looking through. After a moment, someone slammed the counter and I sat up in shock. I saw a woman, probably a few years older than me, standing in front of the counter. She dropped her stuff rudely on the counter, staring at me as I stared back. I wasn't in the mood to deal with another rude customer, so I started to ring all her goods. When I was done, I told her the price. And
hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And she stared at me as if I'd just grown a new head. She looked at the price on the screen and accused me of double pricing some of the things she bought. I stared at her in surprise because she was right there when I was doing it. And she saw with her own two eyes that I didn't ring anything twice. I tried to explain to her that she was wrong, but she only yelled that I was trying to scam her. She even asked for the manager, but luckily he wasn't around. Eventually, I agreed to redo the pricing, and when I was done, the price was still the same. This time, though, she didn't object. She paid for her stuff and left. Once she walked out, Lee came to the counter and told me how she yelled at him for handing her the wrong type of scented candle instead of the one she asked for. He said she behaved like that because her dad or whoever was sponsoring her was rich. She had an expensive McLaren which she had parked in front of the store whenever she came around. I hoped to never see her again. but it turned out that she was a regular customer. She came back 2 days later, and as she walked in, she glanced at me and said, "Wow, they haven't fired you yet?" The way she treated me was very annoying, and it was crazy because she didn't know me before. She dropped some things on the counter, and while I was about to ring it, she told me not to, because she wasn't done shopping. She took a while to get all the things she needed, and I already had a line of customers I was attending to. When she got back, she walked past the line, dropped the rest of her stuff on the counter, and told me she was ready. I couldn't attend to her and leave the rest of the customers on the line, so I told her she had to join the queue. She started to yell that she was there first and I had to attend to her, but the other customers weren't having it. The issue turned out to be a huge commotion and the manager had to step in. While he talked to her, I quickly attended to the other customers before ringing her stuff and packing it. She was still upset that I attended to her last, and she threw the cash on the ground as she walked out. I thought that was the end of it, till she came back the next week. This time, she bought way more stuff than she used to and dropped it on the counter. Next, she pulled out her phone from her pocket and walked away to receive a call. When I was done ringing and bagging her stuff, she came back and feigned surprise at the price of what she bought. Then, as usual, she told me to redo the calculations, which I started to do. But halfway through, she stopped me and picked up a bottle of expensive wine and claimed that she didn't buy that. She went on to call me a thief because I was trying to hike her bill. I tried to explain in my calmest tone possible that I didn't make a mistake and she actually brought it to the counter, but she denied it. She even went as far as calling the manager and asking him to fire me. When he heard the full story, Mr. William took her side and I got fired. I couldn't believe it. I lost my job over some crazy Karen who relished bullying me. It hurt so bad because even though I hated that job, I needed it to survive. My ex-coworkers came to see me that night and we talked about the incident. After cheering me up, Lee decided that we had to teach her a lesson. He wanted us to key her car, but I thought we could do more than that. I wanted to destroy the car completely. She made me lose my job. She had to pay for it dearly. That same night, we hatched our plan. We knew that she only came at night, so Kim decided to work only the morning shifts so he'd be free at night. Sam, on the other hand, stayed on the night shift so he could alert us when she was around. I had a bike that I used to commute to work every day, so I painted it black so no one would recognize it. A few days later, Sam called me and said she was around. I called Lee, and we rode to the store. We had black clothes and ski masks on so no one would recognize us. We snuck by the store so no one from inside would see us. Soon enough, we got to the sleek, gray McLaren. I brought with me a steel bat and a bottle of Molotov cocktail. Lee stayed on the lookout. It was an open street with a lot of onlookers, so we had to act fast. I started by tearing her tires with a screwdriver I borrowed from a roommate. Next, I bashed her windows with a steel bat before lighting the Molotov cocktail. By this time, the car alarm had gone off and it called her attention from the store. She screamed and ran over to us, but she wasn't fast enough to stop me from dropping the cocktail in the car seat. I got on my bike and cycled away, watching as the car went up in flames. Lee also escaped on his own bike and we parted ways in case we were being followed. The paint I used on the bike was temporary, so as soon as I got back to the hostel, I wiped it off and discarded all the tools I used. A few days later, Lee and Sam told me she tried to get the police involved, but they didn't have any leads to go on. No one saw our faces, and Lee and Sam didn't have motive, so they weren't suspected. Besides, Sam was at work when it happened. They eventually closed the case, and I went scot-free. I would just about call OP maybe even crazy, but I quite like my car and I don't necessarily want it Molotov cocktailed, so nice revenge? Our next story is, Mom's boyfriend cheats on her, so I burn down his house. The first day Mom formally introduced Dave, 46-year-old male, to the family was what I, 19-year-old male, like to call the beginning of the end. I think of myself as a good judge of character, and when I saw him, I knew that he wasn't all he was posing to be, but my mom had been alone for over 2 years before that, so I couldn't take that away from her. When my parents were still together, they fought a lot, about everything. It ranged from unserious bickering to full-on yelling and name-calling. When I was a lot younger, it was very different. They were in love, or at least that was what it looked like to my young, innocent mind. But as I and my younger sister, Lily, grew up, things started to change. The warmth that once reigned in our house disappeared and was replaced with something else. My parents argued every day. It never stopped. It only escalated to dangerous levels. After some time, they decided to seek counseling, and for a time, it looked like they were actually getting better. They were putting more effort into communicating and going out on dates and all those other things, but it didn't last very long. One day, while I was at a friend's place playing video games, I received an emergency call from my sister asking me to come home immediately, and so I did. Imagine my surprise when I found my mom and dad in an all-out fight. I'm talking yelling and throwing stuff. I've never seen them like this before, but I soon learned the reason for their fight. Apparently, mom had found out that dad was cheating on her with his secretary from work. Typical. I guess she'd always had her suspicions, because that day, she left the house just minutes after he did and tailed him to a motel where he went to see her. Long story short, she caught him, they fought, and he moved out of the house. The divorce case was something else, because they both wanted custody of us, and they both fought for it as hard as they could. Eventually, the judge ruled that we were to stay with mom, and we visited dad during the weekends. Mom threw herself into work. She told herself that she was trying to focus on her career as an attorney, but that wasn't true. She just wanted to fill the hole dad left with work. I understood that perfectly. Within a year, dad was engaged to his secretary, who was already pregnant, but mom was still working full-time. The only upside to this was that she got promoted, which only meant that we got to see her less and less. And on the rare times when she wasn't working, she'd be in her room crying or drinking herself to sleep. It took a year and 6 months for her to pick herself up and start dating again, but even then, it wasn't anything serious. The wound of being cheated on never fully healed, so it was difficult to trust other people. But 2 years later, there she was inviting a man into our home and introducing him to us as her new boyfriend. Dave was handsome. He was a real looker and had a nice body. Mom said he was a fitness instructor. He was funny too and really charismatic. I could immediately see why she liked him, but I know people. Some would call me a natural-born psychologist. I knew how to read people, and when I asked him some questions about family and stuff, his reaction gave me the hint that he was hiding something, but I didn't press further. Mom was happy. I wasn't about to ruin that. After he left, we all had a family discussion and Mom told us about how they met. Her firm had a meeting with a new client and she was supposed to take point in leading the proposal meeting. She was supposed to meet the client in a 3-star restaurant. And when she got there, she sat at the wrong table where Dave was seated. After pitching to him for a total of 15 minutes, he finally told her that he wasn't who she thought he was. Apparently, her prospects were running late. She apologized, but Dave told her to have a drink with him. They hit it off, and he collected her number. Then they started to go out. At that point, Mom really liked him already, so it was difficult to air my skepticism. I decided to keep an eye on him by myself. I soon noticed some more weird signs whenever from Dave. Whenever he was around and Mom wasn't looking, he was always texting on his phone. It was so frequent, and I know a fitness instructor doesn't have to be on his phone all the time like that. And since Mom said he didn't have kids, I wondered who he could be texting so frequently. But that wasn't all. Whenever he had to put the phone down, he always turned the screen face down. That was a typical move for someone who had something to hide. But that wasn't enough evidence to bring to my mom, so I waited. A few weeks down the line, I came to a realization. When he was about to leave our house, he kissed my mom goodbye and left. He never offered for my mom to stay over at his place, nor had he invited us over. I asked my mom about this and she said it was because he had roommates. The house he stayed in was very expensive and so he couldn't afford to stay alone. I asked if he told her this himself and she said yes. I further asked if she had been to his house just once and she said no. She was starting to get suspicious of my questioning, so I backed off. The next time he came over, I pretended to be very sleepy after dinner and I went up to my room. I watched from the window till I saw him leave. Then I locked my door and climbed down my window. I got on my bike and tailed his car. I made sure to put on my hoodie and keep a safe distance between us so he wouldn't know he was being followed. We finally got to his place and he was right. The house looked expensive, but as soon as he parked in the driveway, a woman walked out of the house. He forgot to mention that his roommate was a woman. I wanted to tell Mom what I'd seen, but it was quite difficult to explain that I snuck out of the house to follow him. I had to be sure that I had something or I would be grounded for life. A few days later, I told my mom that I was going to a friend's, but instead, I staked out Dave's house. I stayed there for some hours, even when he left. Eventually, the woman left the house and I followed her. She worked at the gym as a fitness instructor, which made me think that maybe he was telling the truth and they were just roommates. But something wasn't adding up. If they were platonic, as we all think, why didn't he let my mom meet them, or why hadn't he ever invited her over? This time I decided to hear from Dave himself. One evening, while we were all having dinner, I asked him why we never came to his house. He gave the same roommate story he gave my mom, but I didn't give up there. I asked about his roommate and what the person does. I could tell that he was uneasy, and it took him a while to answer, and when he did, he spoke in a way that didn't give away the gender of the roommate. I was counting on the fact that he'd slip up, and since he didn't, I had to ask him directly, "Is your roommate a man or a woman?" That question almost made him choke on his food. Mom laughed it off and asked me what sort of question that was. She said, "Of course his roommate is a guy." But I looked at him, waiting for him to answer the question. When he did, he lied to my face and said it was a guy. He said he was an undergrad law student and he was a huge slob, which was why he never invited us over. That night when he left, Mom asked me why I asked the weird question, and I said it was because he was lying. He had a woman living with him, and that was the real reason why he had never invited her over. As expected, she didn't believe me. I told her how I followed him that other night, but she still thought I was making it up. She even went as far as making up excuses for him. She said it was possible that I got it all wrong, and the lady came to see his roommate and not him. It took a lot, but I finally convinced her to test that theory with me. I told her to invite him over and stall him in any way she could. At that time, I went out to the gym where his roommate worked. I posed as though I came to register for a membership, and I went directly to her and said Dave referred me. She believed me at once and introduced herself as Brienne. Before we started talking, I put my phone on record so Dave wouldn't be able to deny anything. When we started a light workout, I asked her how she knew Dave, and as expected, she said he was her boyfriend. I feigned surprise and told her that was impossible because he was dating my mom. She laughed it off, thinking I was joking, but I went on my phone and showed her the pictures I took of them. Her face said it all. She didn't know Dave was cheating on her. Neither did my mom. I went home immediately and showed my mom the evidence I got from Brienne. Dave tried to manipulate and talk his way out of it, but my mom was not having it. She kicked him out of our house and he left. My mom was in terrible shape after that breakup. I can understand her though. My dad cheated on her the first time, and after 2 years of being single, she tried dating again and she still got cheated on. It really hurt me to see her beaten up like that, and I vowed that I was going to help her get revenge on him. A few days later, I got word that Brienne left him and moved out of the house. That was when I got the perfect idea to get my revenge. Dave usually stayed out late because he had other clients he attended to, aside from the ones in the gym. That makes his house pretty much empty most of the time. I took some time to stake out his house and learn his schedule. Then I realized that he had a client he worked with on Saturday night for over 2 hours. The next Saturday, I came to his house with a gallon of gasoline when he wasn't around. I picked the lock and let myself in. I had a mask on in case he had cameras around the house. Then I poured the gas all over his couch and curtains before moving into the kitchen and rooms. When I was done, I got to a safe distance before lighting the matches and watching it burn. Then I went home before the neighbors noticed the smoke. The next day, we got the news that his house burnt to the ground, but no one saw who did it. Dave pointed his fingers at Brienne and my mom, but they both had alibis as they were at work when it happened. The house was not insured, and the landlord sued Dave for negligence and pushed that he pay the entire sum for the repairs. I don't know the outcome of the case, but I don't care, as long as Dave has a crappy next few years. Honestly, I don't understand how OP wasn't a person of interest in this case. Because any investigative body as far as fires go is going to understand A, there's gasoline on the scene, and can even probably figure out that it was started with a match, obviously pointing fingers at the two exes that he cheated on. But would Dave not be smart enough to also identify that OP was the one going around trying to get the scoop and figure everything out? Would that not make OP a person of interest? I guess not. But with that being said, that's all the time we have for today. Now, if you want to hear another crazy revenge story, check out that video on the left. or if you missed my latest video, check out that video on the right. That said, I'll see you all next time with some more stories.